In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, it's not as easy as it looks, is it? I understand. As I was looking at Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus, I realized being a Christian in our world today is very confusing, isn't it? And we listen to what Paul is saying to the church, and then we look at the world and what the world is constantly saying to us. I try to avoid the news. I know that might shock some of you. I try to keep up with what's going on in the world, obviously. But the thing I try to avoid most is the hostility that we continually find in the world we live in. And the more I engage with the different tools that are now available to us for communication, what do they call that? Social media. I haven't found much social about social media. I'm sure it's good for some things, and anytime I have that conversation with someone, they just say, well, you just got to ignore that other part. Or you just unfollow people. And I thought, you know, I think I'll just talk to them when I see them. Because then we can have some communication, some real communication. Wonderful thing about my preparation to be a priest is my undergraduate work is human development, where we were actually taught to read body language. I've yet to be able to do that with a text or an email. And things get confusing, don't they? When they could be very simple, if we saw one another. And now, as we're coming out of a time when we hadn't seen each other for some time, it seems a little worse. I mean, we're happy to see the people we're happy to see, and some of the people were like, I haven't seen them forever, I don't want to see them ever again. This works out pretty well, amen? It's sort of the anti-social media. It confuses me when I compare that to what Paul is saying, and within the outline of my study Bible, it calls this portion of his letter unity and peace in Christ. Now that I like. I'm all about it. And what I've discovered is, along with myself and I presume many others, I'll again drag you down with me, we struggle and we're broken and we tend to be damaged, you know, and we are sinful. But we try, and sometimes we fail, and sometimes it hurts other people, and sometimes we acknowledge it and sometimes we don't. But the fact of the matter is, we're all hopefully at least striving to be what God's called us to be, that we can become this dwelling place for God, as Paul puts it, and that we may actually represent him to the world in some way so that others may come to know. And as I read this, I thought to myself, there's something in here that's really stirring me to preach on this, and I'm not sure I really got there at the 8 o'clock, to be honest with you, because I really should probably drink tea before I get here. You know, get a little caffeine in me, and maybe I'd be a little more awake, but those who know me know that early morning's really not my thing. But I get here, and we make it. Usually nobody gets hurt. But as I was going through this, and I think, what is it I'm looking for, and what is it we need to hear, or what is it I need to hear, to be honest? And it really shows up in the first couple of verses. Well, the context is slightly different. It says, so then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now, when I first read that, my thought was, yeah, there's a bunch of people out there with no hope and without God in the world. And as I thought about it, and I meant to underline it, and I certainly didn't, I wrote it in my note, it says, "So then remember." See, I can stand here now before you and say, God is in my life, amen? Sometimes it might look like it, but even when it doesn't, he is. He is in my life. But as I go through this world, I continually encounter people who are hostile. And I live in a society that breeds it and celebrates it and nurtures this hostility and says, this is okay. If you don't like that person, you can cancel them out. If that person disagrees with you, you just separate them from you completely, even if they are your own flesh and blood and you disagreed at the last election. Society says, that is okay. You need to cut them out of your life. And then I read this. And that's not at all what it says, is it? One in Christ. One in Christ. Of one body. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean of one mind. And I see the world continually chase after this brokenness, and I see it nurtured, and I see it celebrated when I turn on the television or if I engage in social media, which I really don't. And it gets confusing, doesn't it? So what do we do with that? As the people called to be one body, those proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who by his very body and blood brought us into reconciliation with God, how do we face this? And then I come back to that word, remember. See, Paul is saying to the Gentiles, remember, there was a time you were on the outside and you didn't know God. Now, I know this isn't true for everyone in the room. It happens to be true for me and maybe for some others. There has been a time in my life when I was without God. Not that he was gone. I was. And I remember. I remember what it was like to be on my own. Even though I chose it, by the way. I chose to be on my own. It's not that he hadn't invited me in. I chose to turn away and to not lead a life that was engaging with God. And I found out that my ability to manage my own life was not that great. And there wasn't a lot of reward from that. And there was certainly no peace. And I couldn't create hope. So when I walk in the world today and I see what I see, I remember. I remember that I have God in my life. Jesus has brought me in to his household with his very body and blood. His choice. I can accept it or not accept it. So when the world is saying, choose a side, brothers and sisters, I say, choose Jesus. And when we do that, an amazing thing can happen. I don't have to agree with you when it comes to the things of the world. And you don't have to agree with me. But when we are all part of the one body, the most important thing we can agree upon, we do. Jesus. And when we walk in that, we begin to see the things that Paul reminds us of. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And we can look at a world that seems as though maybe it doesn't have hope and seems as though maybe it is without God. And we can choose to join it. We can choose to become without God. We can choose to stand in judgment of it and say, well, too bad for them. They should have God like I do. Or we can recognize that the opportunity to come to know Christ and become members of the household of God has been given to each and every one of them, even the guy who keeps parking the trailer in his front yard three doors down, bringing down your home value. It's usually me. And that person who doesn't agree with you, the person who doesn't share your politics, the person who doesn't feel the same way you feel about all the things of the world, when you can agree on the fact that we are all members of the household of God, bought and paid for the opportunity by the blood of Christ, we can find a way. We can find a way together. Because it's bigger than us. When we find ourselves lost in the midst of hostility, we should ask ourselves, over what? And is that thing bigger than God? And then we have a chance to reclaim and remember that we were at one time outsiders. Even if you hadn't experienced it in your own life, it's certainly in your lineage. And know that through the invitation of Christ, we are now part of the body. And rather than being frustrated or upset with those who disagree with us, we could actually represent Christ to them so that they may see God and be pointed to a life with God where they will find hope and peace. And we might still disagree on some things, but not the thing, the presence of Jesus in our lives. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity. And in here he says, in place of the two, meaning the circumcised and the uncircumcised. But when we got over arguing over the circumcised and the uncircumcised, then we just started arguing over everything else. Male, female, black, white, Episcopalian, Baptist, pick it. We find all sorts of things to argue about and why one side is right and one side is wrong. And I'm saying, I think we might all be wrong and God just might be right. And we could just choose that, amen? And we'll sort the rest out in peace. Because that's what he offers us if we choose it. One new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace. And reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. What a world that would be. In fact, you might say, what a kingdom that might be. And it would be God's kingdom. It's what he calls us to. And maybe, like some of you, I struggle to do that, to make room for people who think different than I do, who maybe look different than I do, who live different than I do. But then I can remember it's really not so much about the worldly that can cloud and distract. It's about the heavenly, the being one body where we can all come together in peace and hope. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. And when we can make that the number one thing, all the rest of those things don't seem so important anymore. They're just things. We don't get to claim who walks with God. You know why? We don't have to. He's already claimed all of us through Jesus Christ to walk with him. The opportunity's there. And when we remember what it's like to be without God, it's so much easier to see someone who is without hope, who is living in this struggle of hostility, and we can look on them with compassion and say, I remember a time, maybe you remember a moment when I felt the same way, but there's hope. And as we continue to live into that, we can grow into this understanding where Paul says, speaking of Jesus as the cornerstone, he says, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. And I know sometimes we think we become a dwelling place for God for our own benefit. Brothers and sisters, it is of great benefit to us to be a dwelling place for God, but it's a greater benefit to the world when we are. That's where separation becomes reconciliation. It's where hostility becomes peace. It's where opportunity for love overcomes all things, so that we can be reconciled to God. And as those who are reconciled to God, which is his whole intention and has been his intention since the garden, when sin separated humanity from him, through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are now all invited to walk in the garden again with him. Now, the garden has not been fully developed. That will be the kingdom again. We will walk with him. Important to remember, he's already chosen us to walk with him. Many will choose to walk with us in the garden with God. Some may not, but we don't decide. And we will be of one body in one kingdom where Christ will reign forever, amen? And in that time and in that place, there will be no hostility. There will be nothing but hope and peace and love and compassion for one another. He didn't say anything about agreement. So we can walk in it now. The invitation is there to us. The ability to do it is within us by his grace and his indwelling spirit. And the garden isn't yet. But it will be. But because of his invitation, which we have accepted, we can walk as if we're in the garden now. But the garden needs tending, doesn't it? Let's tend his garden. Let's nurture peace and hope, compassion, grace, forgiveness, love. We can build on that. The world will give you all the other words that destroy and separate and break down. But stand against it. Stand against it. Because as Paul was trying to explain to the Christians in Ephesus, I see you're struggling with one another because you think you're different from one another. But you're not. When we choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's us. When we choose to be us, one body, with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, there's just more of us who don't yet know. There is no us and them. It's all just us. And when we live into the fullness of being built up together spiritually into a dwelling place for God, that is when the world, who does not yet know him, will find an invitation to seek him and to live into the hope and the peace we know. And on those days when you might be struggling to be that dwelling place, remember, there was a day it wasn't an option for you. You didn't have God in this world. But now we do. Tend the garden. Amen.